Hallelujah, we are not alone. You need those words deep in your life because, folks, Scripture does not show you anywhere where your life's going to be easy, especially as a Christian. Psalmist says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so often we put a period right there. But he goes on and says, but the Lord delivers them from them all. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You're going through the storms. You're going to pass through some times in which loneliness is there. You got to know that he's there, whether you feel like it or not, whether you have a grasp of it or not. We are not alone, even though our feeler is lying to us. One of the reasons I believe what God's word says is because he illustrates it so often in scriptures. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Judgment is coming upon the world because every thought is evil all the time, according to God. But there was one by the name of Noah. And judgment is coming. And this man living in the desert who, by all indications, did not know anything about boat building, God instructed him to build one with a specific dimensions. And it was his way of delivering Noah through his judgment. In Genesis 7, verse 16, the animals were going in, male or female, every living being. And God commanded Moses, the Lord God shut them in. Notice, Noah did not shut the door. God shut them in. And when God seals you in, you are safe from judgment that is coming. You are sealed with a seal that cannot be broken. And this man who knew nothing about boat building was able to construct that ark, and it just stayed on top. I saw deal on TV the other day in which they were trying to discern or determine whether that thing would even last or not. And what these scientists and engineers all came up with was there's no better design. No better design whatsoever. So here is God's judgment coming down. The flood's coming up. People just dying. Animals dying. And on top of this, riding on it, you understand it was not a pleasant ride, don't you? I mean, it's this the jostling and all of that. And the chores that had to happen. You understand, there were still troubles and trials, but God delivered them from them all. In verse 8, chapter 8, verse 18 and 19, so Noah came out together with his sons and wives and his sons' wives, all the animals, all the creatures, God kept his word. When this family went through that struggle, God went through it with them. The nation of Israel coming into the promised land, one that they had they disobeyed God 40 years before and told him no. And now they're getting ready to go in. The Jordan River is standing in front of them. It is at flood stage. It is somewhere between 15 and 20 feet deep, flowing rapidly. And God says, we're crossing today. Get everybody ready. Get the Ark of Covenant with the priests out in front. We're going through it today. And the people are going, pardon me? Do you not see that it's... Get ready. Joshua 3, 15 and 17. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Do you believe that? You got troubles believing that? Randy, that's just not scientifically impossible. Folks, we got a God who invented science. And if he can invent all of this, he can miraculously create all of this. Stopping a flowing river and drying it up is nothing to him, okay? If he, as we believe, created heavens and earth and everything in it, folks, your problems are nothing for him. And they have purpose and meaning. Verse 16, the water from upstream stopped flowing. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, stood on dry ground. Did you notice that? Dry ground. While all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. There was about 750,000 to a million people who crossed that time. He was instructed, go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. This is not some little stone, one that you put on your shoulder. According to the number of tribes of Israel, that would be 12, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stone means? These stones are to be a memorial to the people forever. They would take these stones on the other side of the Jordan, pile them up, not mortar them together or anything, just pile them up. It was a sign of what God had done that day, folks, and that is what baptism is. It is a sign of what God has done this day in the lives of the ones being baptized. But we also see that God was with Jesus when he was baptized. Moses 3, 13 through 20. Then Jesus came to Galilee. What'd I say? You can't find that one? That is why there it's up there. But John tried to deter him. Here's Jesus coming down. Jesus is the Son of God. He's going to be baptized. And John's baptism was for repentance of sin. And John's going, this isn't right. No, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus said in verse 15, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. What he said was this. This is what my Father says to do. I'm going to be baptized because I'm going to be identified with lost humanity. I want you, Father, to look upon me as if you're looking upon one of them. Does he need to be baptized for repentance? No. He's being obedient to his Father. As soon as Jesus was baptized and went up out of the water, at that moment the heaven opened up and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, with him I am well pleased. Notice where the Father was at. He was in the baptism with Jesus Christ. He was in the Jordan with the nation of Israel. He was in the ark with Noah. And when we do baptisms in a little while, he will be with them as well. Matthew chapter 28 for verses today. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He's got all of the disciples together with him. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in or into the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. I am with you always and to the end of the age. The Living Bible says, be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can trust your word, that we can trust your promises, that, Father, you're with us in the water. You're with us when the fires. You're with us in the hardships of life. And, Father, we just praise you that at no time in our life as a born-again child of God are we at a place you do not know where we're at. Open up our hearts and mind now. And thank you for your wondrous grace. In your name alone, amen. In a marriage ceremony, there's a giving of rings. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. The rings do not marry them. It is the dedication in their heart. In fact, there's a part in there I say, I give this ring, I don't say it, the groom says it, I give this ring as a visible token of my love. When you look at that ring, understand it is my love given to you. When you look in that ring, everyone else understands mine, mine. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. We have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have repented of the sins. We keep doing that, but we have to keep repenting of the sins. And we have accepted His lordship over our life. And He tells us then to be baptized in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, because it takes all three of them to bring salvation to a person. Come, is what He says. It is an outward expression. He changes us. Scripture says we are born again. We're a brand new creation. Yes, the old nature is still there, but we're a brand new creation. And He tells us to be identified. Isn't that a great sound? Do you know how many congregations would love to be able to hear that sound? And that's not going to stop us at all. Well, Randy, it's distracting. Excellent. Focus. Okay, focus. Because without that sound, we are a dead church. maybe a little debtor, but not. So baptism is an outward expression. So the question is, why do we do it? That's the question. Why do we do it? Because baptism is commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, go therefore and make disciples. Notice that does not say converts. Make disciples, those who know who they are. They've received their salvation. They're learning who they are. They're learning who Jesus is. They're learning God's scripture, and they're becoming more and more like Jesus every single day. Go and make disciples, baptizing them. Now, when we do this a little later, there will be little fear, maybe a little bit of the water. But back then, when they baptized, it was a great fear because the Roman government was watching them all the time. Oh, there's a Christian. We need to watch them. We need to watch them. Baptizing them. It is uncompromisingly commanded and ordained by our Lord Jesus until he returns. He tells us to do it. Now, we can set it aside. Well, Randy, is it a requirement for salvation? No. But it is the first act of obedience. And without that first act of obedience, it's very difficult for what comes after. We are to follow the Lord in baptism. And behold, he says, look at this. I'm with you. I'm with you in the baptism. I'm with you in the salvation. I'm with you in the storms. I'm wherever you go, I am with you. This was commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism expresses our joining together with his death and resurrection of Christ. We have been joined, or as it says, we are in union with him together with Christ Jesus. Union is in the Jewish sacrifices, when they would bring the burnt offering, the head of the household would have to put his hands upon that offering, the head of that offering, and basically says, God, would you look upon this as you look upon me? Transfer my sin debt to this bull or goat or sheep. Transfer that. Be in union with that. Look upon this animal as you do me. May you transfer my sin debt into this sacrifice, letting it bear the penalty of my sins. Understand that when Jesus came and died, he did not die for his own sin. He came and died for the sins of mankind, each and every one of us. That is the only way in which we can be accepted fully by a holy, righteous God. It's not what we do. It's not any of that. It's that our belief is in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And on that cross, Jesus prayed two things. God, don't hold this against them. It's a good thing he prayed that. Don't hold this against them, because God's wrath could have come and wiped them all out at that point. But then he said, it is finished. Everything the Old Testament law pointed to, Jesus fulfilled. It is finished. And when we come before the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, we are expressing that we have joined in the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, but we have also joined the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection, knowing that that's what's coming to us. One of these days, when we give that last breath, we rise to be in his presence. Paul said to be absent of the body, to be present with the Lord, which means that is a good spot to be. I'm in union with Jesus. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. Paul said it like this in Romans 6, 3 through 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, that's not the water baptism, that's the salvation by faith alone, were baptized unto his death. That's the way that's the way God looks at us, as if we have died to ourselves. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We are brand new creations in Christ Jesus. Yes, we fight that old nature, but the Spirit of God is living within us, giving us those victories and leading us to wisdom and knowledge. When we trust in Christ, his death counts as our death. His resurrection counts as our resurrection. And the only hope we have of standing before a holy God, giving an account for our life, is for Jesus to say, he's mine, she's mine. And then in baptism, we dramatically portray what happened spiritually when we receive Jesus. Our old self of unbelief and rebellion and idolatry is no longer our master. I'd like to tell you it's gone. But we will fight that. Those characteristics of selfishness, all of that. But there is a new Lord and Master of our life, and we need to learn who He is and how to live for His glory. Our new identity, a person of faith and submission and treasuring Christ, came into being all through faith. Not by water, but by faith in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have joined in the death and resurrection of Jesus. We believe that baptism is by immersion, because that's what the word means in Greek. It means to immerse, to dip. It describes a portrayal of a person who is buried and resurrected, going through the waters into the grave and then coming up and out brand new. It's how the early church performed baptism. It was important to the early church. And in Acts chapter 8, 36 through 39, there was a eunuch coming back, and he was reading in Isaiah and didn't know what it meant. And I believe it was Philip that the Spirit of God told him to run up beside the chariot and listen to him. And if God tells you to do something that dramatic, do it, guys. And he was listening to the eunuch, and he goes, I hear you're having some problems understanding. And Philip led him into belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go here. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water. Did you notice that? Down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went his way rejoicing. But we also baptize in the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that's what He tells us to do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, this is an appeal to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to be present in this act. Look down upon this. Look at it favorably. Make this picture true and real in what it says about the work of redemption in my life. Nowhere here does it say we have to understand everything. We accept it by faith and we learn about it. There is no salvation without the Father. Scripture says that no one comes to the Father unless He draws him. Without the Son making the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And the Holy Spirit sealing us, giving us that faith, making it real in our lives. When we call upon the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're depending on all of them all the time. They're here with us. We are honoring them. And we are saying that this act of baptism is for them and for them alone. In the name of, by the authority of, by the provision of, by the grace of, for the glory of God alone, period. Be in the water with me. Be in the water with me. It's an outward demonstration of our inward faith. Baptism is for believers only, which is why we don't baptize infants. It has to be by faith alone. Some do, but it's for faith alone. We are not able to believe yet. But I'm going to tell you something. You raise that infant in a godly household that is church all the time and in Sunday school, it is an easy transition to make. Colossians 2:12, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith. Okay, that faith is not there yet in infants. In the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. So baptism was and is closely connected to being an active member of a local church or congregation. We were never meant to be saved and baptized and live in isolation. We can't do that. God has split His spiritual gifts among all of the people in the congregation so that each one of us could grow and mature and mentor and do all the things that are necessary for us to develop into disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was the mind of the apostles that when they were baptized, they were united to Christ by faith and became unity, part of the body of Christ, which would be the local church. Normally in one city, there was just one church. Easy to decide. So growing in faith as a disciple takes a body of believers. Serving Christ by serving others. Worshiping Christ by worshiping with others together. And remember what God promised through His prophet Isaiah. When you go into that water, when you go into the deep end, when the hardships are coming, when you pass through the water, I will be with you as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for the example that you give us in baptism. And I pray, Father, now that you're preparing the hearts of the young ones and the others that to receive this as you have desired it to be. It's not just getting wet, but it's placing ourselves underneath the direction of the Spirit of God. Lord, if somebody here does not know you, I pray that your Spirit just be all over them at this point. If their lives have been lived separate from him, they've gone through all the acts, but there's nothing in their life which even remotely points to them being a disciple of Jesus, may repentance come in their heart this morning. That, Father, we may learn more of you and grow up in you and be a witness to the world that's out there. So, Father, I pray, if there's anyone that needs prayer this morning, that they come. Anyone needs salvation this morning, they come. We'll show them in your word. Anyone just needs to be with the Father this morning, come. And I give you the praise for your glory alone. Amen.